You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
I want to talk to you tonight about storms. What happens when storms come into our lives? If you live in Missouri, you know a lot about storms, right? We always used to laugh at our people out in Washington State who thought they were having a massive storm when it rained like maybe a fourth of an inch, right? It had a little bit of wind. I go, you just have not seen a storm until you see a Missouri storm. And we live through that today, right? If you saw that down where we live, baseball-sized hail, it was kind of an incredible storm, not very much fun. But one of the things that we know about storms is storms come into our life in many different ways. They come into our life in physical ways, but they also come into our life in spiritual ways. And what we do with these storms is so important, especially when it comes to this idea of strengthening ourselves in the Lord. Because we can let a storm take us down and steal all of our strength, or we can take authority over it and come against it. And how I look at a storm, because, you know, we've talked a little bit about how you walk through problems. How I look at a storm, and like, you know, if you've been around me for very much, you know, I love the Weather Channel. I can watch it for hours on end just watching the storms. You know, I don't like storms, but I don't know. It's the music. I'm not sure what it is. I just maybe just veg out and watch these storms. But you see that it's cell after cell many times. And I think that's what a storm is sometimes in our lives, where it's just you get hit time and time. And it's not just one problem, but it's a series of things that come into your life. How do you overcome that? How do you say, Lord, help me to become stronger? Every believer we've talked about should walk in strength and authority, especially when storms come. We got to stand firm and stand strong. We don't have to walk in doubt or discouragement or depression or the other things that the enemy tries to bring to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And I can tell you, when you're looking at the horizon of life and you see a storm on the horizon, it's easy to quickly lose our strength, isn't it? When you look at that horizon, it seems like the storm clouds are building and you're going, man, there's a storm coming, or even worse, in the middle of the storm. How do we deal with that? How do we walk in authority and really overcome that? We've looked at the tools a lot in this study of how we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And we've known, one of the things we've learned in this study is that strength does not come from the outside, it comes from the inside. It's not exterior, it's interior. Lord, give me strength to withstand the storms. Give me strength to withstand the difficulties that come into our lives. So tonight, I thought it was so fitting, though, because like we said, the storms, you know, and so many times storms will bring damage. They'll bring fear into our lives. It can hurt us. That's true in the physical sense and the spiritual sense. The enemy loves to use storms to knock us off of our track and to steal our strength, especially the storms that come up when you weren't expecting it. All of a sudden, a storm comes flying in. Like today, that storm, I don't know if you were expecting it. I wasn't expecting it. They said most of the storms we were going to get tonight were going to be tonight. I mean, and that storm just came flying in. And have you ever been in life where it just feels like all of a sudden a storm just comes flying into your life? And how do you deal with that? How do you walk through that? The enemy loves to use those storms. If the enemy can get you focused on the storm instead of focusing on Jesus, the person who can calm the storm and bring peace back into our lives, he will do that. And you'll never overcome those storms that come into your life. You'll falter and you'll fall. And that's what I want to encourage. The disciples face storms like what we're talking about. And we're going to look at a good chunk of scripture tonight. I don't know about you, but I love looking at scripture. I love getting into God's word. And we're going to look at a scripture and a chunk of scripture where the disciples had faced storms in their lives. I want us to look at one of those storms and also look at how the disciples responded. So if you'll turn to Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41, we're going to start there. Okay? And let's read it together, and this is coming from the ESV. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, he being Jesus, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Isn't that amazing? Jesus can sleep through the storms. I mean, nothing bothers him. And I think we've got to get to that point where we say, no matter what kind of storm I'm walking in, it's not going to steal my joy. It's not going to steal my strength. In fact, I'm going to sleep through it. no matter what it looks like. I'm not going to let it take an ounce of my sleep. Okay? And they woke him, and they said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, it's interesting. This would have been a serious storm. Okay? If you look at the Sea of Galilee, the sea that they were on, was Israel's largest body of fresh water. It was not open sea. It's the largest. It's about 65 miles wide, and it's known for its sudden raging storms. This would be a place where raging storms would come flying up, just like the storm we had today. Okay? The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by hills, mountains that are almost 2,000 feet high. So the weather would literally collide, and those downdrafts would literally fly all the way down the mountains. And it's interesting because the Sea of Galilee is only about 200 feet deep at its deepest level. Because the water is shallow, the waves would whip up much quicker than if it was on open, deeper water, where the depth would help absorb. The waves of the Sea of Galilee can easily reach 30 and 40 feet tall. This was not just a little wave this was a massive, major storm. You have to also think, too, these men, there was a majority of them that were fishermen. They had been out on the lake before at night. They knew what the Sea of Galilee was like. They also knew how dangerous it was. So when they were afraid, it was for good reason. When they were sitting there saying, man, we are afraid. We are in trouble. This is a big storm. They thought they were going to die. How many times does the enemy love to convince us that we're going down? That when a storm comes up in our lives, we're going down. There are times in life when the storms of life seem terrifying. They can rise up quickly like this storm did on the Sea of Galilee. It can feel like you're going to die. The Christian life may have more stormy weather than calm seas, especially when you are on mission and you are out doing what God has called you to do. As a Christ follower, be prepared for those storms that are going to come. What do the storms look like in our lives? That it could be problems or challenges or broken relationships or hardships. It's interesting, too, when this storm hit. Because this storm hit after they had been ministering to people all day long. So what would that tell you about the condition they were in? They were exhausted. They were exhausted. And instead of having this peaceful ride over to the other side, a storm rose in the midst of their exhaustion. You know, when you get exhausted and a storm comes up in life and you just feel like, I can't do anymore, I'm so tired, I'm worn out, that's when we need the strength of the Lord the most. And that is when the enemy uses these storms in our lives to really knock us off to see where we're going to stand is when we are the most tired. That's why they come, and these storms will come time and time and time again, and mainly a lot of times after you've already been through a difficult time. They were exhausted. They'd been pouring out to people in ministry. All they wanted to do was sleep, but the enemy had other plans for them that night. If the enemy had plans, there would be no rest that night. He was trying to steal their strength. Now, you could read this story in a lot of different ways. Some people say, well, Jesus was testing the disciples. But I think there's another piece to this. And if you want to know my take on it, I think you have to read on into chapter 5 to see why this storm really came up. It's an interesting perspective. When a storm comes, we can either allow the storm to drain our energy and our strength in the Lord, and you have to keep in mind, these storms will come time, and it's usually a one-time deal. They're like the storms that just stick, like this storm we're walking through in the last couple of days. It is just stuck here. It's like it's just boom, and it's time and time. Like I said, I watched the Weather Channel, so they use this term called training of storms, where the storm just kind of goes over and over, and you're like, is this ever going to end? I'm ready for some sun. How about you? Anybody? Yeah. Let's all take our vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, until that happens, so we're all happy and smiling, okay? And I think what we have to stand up and say is when the storms come, we need to take the power and the authority that Jesus did in this situation, and we need to say, not on my watch. Not on my watch am I going to let this storm continue. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to take authority over the storm. I'm going to stop it. And you might go, how do I have the authority to do that? I'm going to tell you tonight. And point number one is that, how do we take authority in the storm? We take authority and say, listen, we have the same authority that Jesus had to stop these storms. And say, peace be still. I'm going to speak peace over my situation. How many times do we do that, though? When the storm's raging, we have that choice to either go, peace be still, or, man, I'm just going to buy into this storm. I'm going to stand out in the middle of it and get beat up. Taking that authority. What was Jesus doing during the storm? He was sleeping. He wasn't that worried about it. He knew that God was in control. Instead of taking authority and saying, not on my watch, though, the disciples began to panic. They didn't take the authority that Jesus had given them. The disciples, and Jesus had been teaching all along what kind of authority they have. They watched. They would literally watch Jesus walk into a situation. Jesus had already told them, you're going to do greater things. He would tell them that down the road. And I believe he spoke that into them all the time. You're going to do what I'm doing. You're going to do greater things. So watch me as I do it. The disciples could have operated in that same authority of Jesus. What was Jesus' answer to the storm? He didn't look at it. He didn't try to go, well, man, those are big clouds. I wonder what's coming. He didn't try to do the forecast of it. All he did was peace be still. The moment that Jesus said that, there was calm and the water was still. How many of you know in the middle of the storm, that's what we need. We need some peace. We need God to give us peace and to say, peace be still, and to see the stormy waters that we're riding in and walking in calm. He then said the words to the disciples. He said, why are you so afraid? And this is a key word that I think when you pull this out of Scripture, when Jesus said, he didn't say, have you no faith? He said, have you still no faith? That's a key word right there. Because he was saying, you have seen me do this time and time and time and time again, and you still don't have the faith that's needed. You either have it or you don't, right? There's not that Jesus wasn't saying, well, if you only had more, I mean, because Scripture tells us you either have it or you don't. And when you walk into a storm, you either have it or you don't. You either have it or you don't. And those times where you're most tired, and so many times we've got to catch the storm before it starts taking a battering on us and a beating on us, then waking up at the end of the storm going, man, I wish I would have called this for what it was. Because so many times we catch it after the fact, and we take the battering, we take the beating from the enemy when we don't have to. We can say, peace be still. Peace be still over my children. Peace be still over this situation. Peace be still over my job. Those words, and we're talking about shalom peace. You know shalom peace? It means the power to break chaos off of your life. We're talking about that kind of peace. Shalom peace. So when things get chaotic and when things just don't seem to make sense, that's when you take the line and go, man, I'm praying shalom peace over my situation. Authority. That word still, Jesus is asking them, after all you've seen and heard, you're still not able to take the authority that I've given you and shut this storm down. We have authority. We do not have to put up with the stuff the enemy tries to bring into our lives. Jesus' response might seem extreme. We think it's our job to ask God to fix our problems, and it's his job to answer. But Jesus was saying, I just had to do a job that you were trained and created to do. I trained you. I showed you what to do. Because what happens when I'm not going to be here? I showed you what to do. We have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Remember, the Holy Spirit hadn't come on the scene yet. So we should have even more power and authority to walk into a situation and just say, peace be still. Peace be still. Taking authority means that you're going to stand up and say, not on my watch. Not on my watch means we exercise the power and the authority that we've been given through Jesus to take back the enemy, the land that the enemy stole, the territory that he stole. Because not only do we have personal storms, but we have a storm in this nation. We have a storm that's brewing all around us right now. And I believe that if Christians will stand up and say, peace be still, I think this storm will calm. We may never go back to what we were, but Jesus can move in any of those situations. Point number two, understand the purpose of the storm. Now, it doesn't say this, but it is interesting because if you stop and you think, you have to really read on into chapter 5 to understand why I think this storm came up. The purpose of the storm was to destroy the disciples and Jesus. Why? Because they had a job to do on the other side of that lake. They had a job. The enemy, I believe, it was a test, yes. Jesus was able to test the disciples. How many times does God take things that the enemy tries to do and turn them into a test for us so that we can learn and we can find what God is saying to us? But if you read Mark 5, you're going to see why I think happened, why this storm rose up. Mark 5, 1 through 20, let's read it. They came to the other side of the sea after this storm to the country of Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. I want to tell you, an unclean spirit means a demon-possessed man. So all of a sudden, the minute that Jesus stepped out of that boat, this demon-possessed man showed up. No one could bind him. I mean, this guy was out of control. Literally, the people would look at him. He lived among the dead, the tombs. Nobody could hold him down, even with a chain. He'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. This man was miserable. The enemy was using him as a spectacle. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he fell down before him. He saw the authority that Jesus carried. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of that man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He was possessed, they say, with somewhere thousands of demons. I mean, when you start to look at that, this man was in such pain and in such torment. And he begged him earnestly not to send him out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushing down the steep bank into the sea and drowned into the sea. Could you imagine watching that spectacle? The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that happened. They knew this man. They were aware of this man. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. That is breakthrough, folks. That is freedom for that man. And those who had seen it described them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting in the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. He did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you." And he went away and he began to proclaim to the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Do you see why that storm might have come up? Because if the enemy was able to keep Jesus and the disciples from that man, he would have been tormented. He would have been lost. Jesus would have never made it. There were boats that traveled. The purpose of this storm, it was to test the disciples, but I believe it was sent from the enemy to keep Jesus and the disciples in a place where they could not get to the assignment that had been given. The enemy was using this storm to keep them from their kingdom assignment. The enemy still uses storms in our life today. If you have a calling upon your life, and I believe every one of you do, if you have a purpose on your life, if God is using you and God is taking you into places, get ready for the storm, because the enemy will come and he'll try to bring storms in your way to stop you from doing what you've been called to do. When you look at a storm in that kind of perspective and you see that the enemy has a very strategic plan to keep you away from doing God's big picture for the kingdom and your purpose and your destiny, it should make you rise up and say, not on my watch. There will be no storm that will stop me. It's interesting, because of this storm, the enemy had meant it for bad and destruction, and God was able to turn that storm around and use it for His glory. There would have been many people also watching the storm. So they would watch. There was boats traveling with Jesus. There were people watching from the shores. Literally, if Jesus would have went down and the disciples would have been killed right then and there, amazing what people would have said. But instead, they saw what God did. In the midst of this storm, they said, look at what God has done. Look at the power that God... They would literally see Jesus in three words say, peace, be still, and have control over 30 and 40 feet waves that would literally calm this body of water. Also, Jesus would come back to this land, to the Decapolis. The second time when He showed up, when He returned to this area, every person in every city showed up to hear Him. There was literally revival the second time. The first time they said, Jesus, will You go away? We're not sure about You. The second time, because this man had gone back, and it might have seemed like, why wouldn't have Jesus taken this man with Him? Because there was a purpose. This man would be set free. Everybody knew who He was. Everybody had an idea who He was. And all of a sudden, this man had freedom and his life would change. And he would literally go and tell everyone that he would meet about his encounter with Jesus. One man's encounter with Jesus shifted the perspective of an entire multitude from rejecting God to hungering for God. God's purpose was accomplished because of one man standing up and saying, not on my watch. And I think today we need believers who will stand up and say, I don't care what kind of storm comes, I'm standing up and saying, not on my watch. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe. Point number three, we have to have courage in the storm. The opposite from courage, our natural response is fear in the middle of the storm. Fear is usually the first response that we have because we have this feeling like we're going down. The enemy would love to convince you this storm is going to take you down. This is going to be bigger than what you can handle. How many of you know that? You start to see just the line of issues, right? You start to see the line of storms that are lined up. And that's where you go, not on my watch. You can say whatever you want to say. My eyes can tell me that I'm seeing the storms lined up, but I'm saying, peace, be still. And those storms are going to go in the name of Jesus. People of faith respond differently in storms. They look into the storm and they see the opportunity of a lifetime. That's courage. Through Him, we have authority over every storm. What is the purposes of God? What has God called you to do that the enemy is trying to keep you away? And if you have lots of storms coming into your radar screen, man, it tells me you have a great purpose. It tells me that God has a great purpose for you. The greater the storms, the larger the purpose that God has for you. That doesn't mean little storms aren't hard to walk through either. You know, I mean, like a storm is a storm. But understanding that authority that you've been given by Jesus will reassure your heart with courage and not fear. Have you ever looked at a storm that looked so bad as it was coming across, and all of a sudden it gets that first, I don't know what they're called, but that dark cloud goes by, and it's like, oh, this isn't that bad. Man, you're always convinced that as that cloud is coming, this is going to be the worst storm ever. We take that authority and we say, no, Jesus, You reassure my heart. Remember that the enemy would love to get you looking in fear at the storm you might be facing. And remember, fear is false evidence appearing real. So you're looking at what you think you see. And it's so important in the middle of the storm, say, Lord, what is it? What is the truth? We can look at the spiritual storm our world is facing today, and it can bring great fear. It is raining hard. That means we just need to hang out here until it passes. Peace be still. All right. We cannot live in fear because of the spiritual storm our world's living in. Because if we do that, then we go down to the world's level. They're in fear. And as believers, we live differently. Peace be still. Lord, come in. You are still the God that controls the weather. You're the God that controls the world. Spiritual giants, and you've seen them all throughout history. This is not the first time that the world's been in a storm. This is not the first time that it's been dark. We've seen it many times when you look through the history of this world where there were dark times, probably darker than what we even know today. And there were spiritual giants who have the habit of rising up during history's darkest moments to meet the challenge. And so many times, these spiritual giants were you and me coming out of a congregation saying, I am going to rise up with the help that Jesus has given me. And I'm saying, not on my watch. There are people who said, not on my watch. And they looked into the storms of their day, the manifestations of the kingdom of darkness, and rose up in faith to displace these storms, declaring, not on my watch. Knowing their assignment was to shape the course of world history. Some of you might be going, how could I ever shape the course of world history? And I want you to know, I believe there are world history shapers that sit right in this room. You know, I mean, who knows? You might be serving in children's ministry today, and the next Billy Graham might be sitting right in our church. You never know. I mean, we will shape the world when we stand up and say, God, use me to displace these storms. These people, they knew their assignment. They shaped the course of history because they refused to give in to the sheer volume of darkness that surrounded them. The darker the storm, the brighter Jesus gets to shine through. And I can tell you, that storm on the Sea of Galilee was dark. I mean, it was a big, dark storm. To face the storms in our lives today and in the world that we live in, we need great courage because we won't only be facing personal, but even in the world that we live in, facing the storms that come along. How do we do it? We take personal responsibility to strengthen every weak place and break our agreement with fear. If fear and anxiety are a part of your world, that's where you have to say, I'm coming out of partnership. I'm breaking that agreement. I will not agree with fear. How do we agree with fear? The moment that you give it any mind power, any mind time. If you stop and you think about it, and you go, man, and you know the enemy always, what's the circle of fear? He always loves to make it look bigger and bigger. And by the time you're all done, you're in this heap, just afraid of everything. Break agreement with fear, especially in the middle of the storm. You break agreement by saying, peace, be still. I will not live in fear. I will not live in fear. I will live in courage. We'll be required to take great risks when we step out in faith when it comes to this idea of courage. We have to take personal responsibility to strengthen and break agreement. We do this by giving thanks and rejoicing. So in the middle of the storm, give thanks and rejoice. Dance in the rain. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not doing it tonight. I get wet. I don't like that. But in a spiritual sense, give thanks and rejoice. Praying as he prays. Meditating on the promises and the testimonies. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. What are you going to listen to? The problems or his promises? Anybody put that into practice where you've written promises over your life since we, I mean, like that is a life-changing moment. Associate with people of faith, not just when others around us are doing so, but continuously as a lifestyle. Have you ever hung around somebody that has faith over fear? It's contagious. Somebody that just goes, man, they have so much faith. They speak life. They're not going to speak to fear. You can either hang around the weathercaster who's going to tell you how bad it is, or you're going to hang around somebody that goes, it's not that big of a deal, right? I have faith. Everything's going to be good. Help me, Lord, to live in that kind of a lifestyle. Thanks and rejoicing. Praying as he prays. Meditating on promises and testimonies. Associating with people of faith. Utilizing these tools is the only way we can access the strength and the courage we need in the midst of the storm. Hearing what Jesus has to say about this storm. Lord, speak to me about what I'm walking through. Most of all, I want to remind you that you are fully equipped for victory. You are fully equipped with victory. You have everything you need. If you're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit and you're walking in His promises, you are fully equipped with victory. Why is this important? Because what's the enemy going to try to tell you? You're going to fail. You don't have victory. He tries to take this tool away. How many of you have been there before where the enemy goes, man, you're going to fail. This is going to fail. You're going down. You step out in faith. You step out in trust. You step out where you feel like God's told you. And the minute he comes on the scene, man, he's trying to convince you that you're going to fail. And that's when you need to say, no, I have victory. I have victory going back to the cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus was put in the ground and he was resurrected on the third day and he rose for me. That's where I have victory. That's victory. I have victory over every storm. Not because we have a formula that always works, but because God is with us and he's in us. He's here. He's going to help us. This is a promise that he's given for every son and daughter who is here and is called to contend for their promised land. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? This is a command. It's not a suggestion. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And remember, if you've been with us for any amount of time, you look at that word, L-O-R-D, the capital L-O-R-D, and in the Greek, that literally means the God who keeps his promises. So whenever you see that big capital L-O-R-D, you know it's saying the God who keeps his promises. And what he's saying is, I will go with you into any storm. I will go with you no matter how dark it looks. I am your tornado shelter. I am here to protect you. You know? I mean, like, I am here no matter how, I'm your umbrella. I go with you. I'm right beside you. How many times also does the enemy try to convince, just like he did the disciples, that where is God in this? Where is Jesus? Where is he? He's sleeping. Look at this man. He's sleeping. He's left you. He's not there with you. And what we can go back is when he tries to convince you, the enemy tries to convince you that God is nowhere to be found, pull out Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to buy into fear. But here's what we do have to do. We have to buy that scripture. We have to buy into it. We have to believe it. We have to look at it and say, Lord, I believe these words. I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that in the middle of the storm, you'll hold on to me and you'll protect me no matter how difficult things get or how loud the thunder gets or how it sounds like the water is going to just pour in. Because, right? I mean, it sounds bad out there. It sounds like a storm. And God's protecting us and he's saying no matter what comes. Such a great, God, thank you for being a great object lesson tonight. Thank you for showing us what a storm looks like all day today, right? And we all know storms. Some of you are very aware of storms that have happened in your life. And I think storms can have an effect for a long time too. Storms can have an effect. There's storms that you've walked through that maybe are still affecting you today. And whenever you see a storm come, you're like, man, I know what kind of damage that last storm did. I know what kind of damage that last storm did. And I want you to tell you that just because the last storm did damage doesn't mean this one has to. That's where you say, Jesus, your word says, peace be still. I don't have to be afraid. How many of you know he loves to hit us with the same storms time and time again? If he knows it works, if he knows it keeps you from where you need to be, he'll hit you with it time and time again. And I think sometimes we see this pattern of storms in our lives, and we need to break that too. We just need to say, peace be still over my life. I am not buying into this cycle, this pattern of storms anymore. And just say, Jesus, I need some sunshine. I need some time, Lord. And like I said, if God's called you, which I believe he's called every single person in this room, to do something great for him. You know what that might mean? Being a great grandma. That might mean pouring into the lives of kids. Those are all great things. Sometimes we look at things and go, man, what I do is not that great. But I want you to know, everything the Lord calls you to do, everything you put your hand to, has the potential for greatness, for the kingdom. It's not about how, you know, how we look at, you know, sometimes we look and we go, well, man, if I could only do this or if I could only do that. God puts you right in front of stuff to do that you can be great at. He gives you a destiny and he puts you in places that he wants to use you. And these storms can literally keep us from accomplishing that. So tonight I want to pray over you. And I wanted to spend some time praying. I know some of you are in the midst of a storm right now. And you need to take this and say, peace be still. I'm done. I'm done. The storm still may rage for a little bit longer. But I also believe that when we say peace be still, it can be the same model that we see in Scripture, and it literally calms right away. So Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we use the same words that Jesus spoke over those storms. Lord, He's our model. He's the one that we model our lives after. And Lord, if we're in the middle of storms, we say to those storms right now, with the authority that Jesus has given us, the Holy Spirit has poured into our hearts, we say, peace be still. We say, peace be still. Lord, tonight, as we hear the object lesson of what a storm looks like and feels like, and God, the things that we hear and experience and feel like are going to take us down, Lord, I thank You that the truth is we have victory. The truth is, it's not going to take us down. And Lord, tonight I pray that You would begin to strengthen. And I know some people are tired from the storms. They've walked through many storms where it's just been storm after storm after storm, and they're tired. And God, they need You to lift them up. And tonight I pray, God, that You would lift them up, that You give them strength. Lord Jesus, that You would just pour into them, that they would not be afraid, not be dismayed, not be troubled. Lord, that You're with them. You're right beside them, Father. Jesus, we just love You right now. We thank You, God. Lord, we love You all the time. Lord, thank You for Your word tonight. Jesus, we just thank You, God. I want to give you an opportunity. If you're in this room tonight and you have never given your life to Jesus, that's the first step to overcoming storms that come along. I want to give you that opportunity. If you be here and you just say, Pastor, I've never done that. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through His Son Jesus is eternal life. And all we have to do is just take hold of that. The Bible tells us, believe with our heart, confess with our mouth. Jesus, I need You. I need You in my life. If there's anybody here that would say that tonight, will you just slip up a hand? You're just saying, I need to accept Jesus into my heart, into my life, or I need to give Him that. By the way, on Sunday, I think we figured 12 or 14 people gave their lives to the Lord. What a great day. Awesome. What a great Mother's Day. I just love that. But tonight, I just said, we're going to dismiss. We're a little early. If you want to spend some time in God's presence, if you're in the middle of a storm, let Him just pour into your life. Take some time before you go just to pray and spend some time with the Lord. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I know on a stormy night, it's sometimes difficult. Don't miss Sunday. It's going to be a great day. Love you so much. Just pray a blessing. Lord, just pray a blessing over every person here. Lord, I pray, God, that You would protect them, Lord. Protect them on their drive home tonight. God, thank You that they made it a priority to be in Your house, Lord. And I just pray You put Your angels around their vehicles, Lord. Protect them. God, I pray that, Lord, they just know how much we love them and care for them, God. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, no matter what storm comes up, Lord, no matter what the storms of life look like in the next couple of days, Lord, God, in the next lifetime, I pray that we would take those words, peace, be still. And Lord, that we would live with those words and that we would just walk in that power and authority and victory that You've given us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. Just spend some time with the Lord, and you're dismissed whenever you're ready. God bless you.